Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast with your host, Salsa.
And Jenna.
And I guess I'm the lovely and talented Chip.
Yep.
Yes. Lovely and talented.
Because Matt couldn't be bothered to be here, so we have Chip Limeburner. Yay! Also known as that crazy Canadian dude.
Yeah, the crazy Canadian... The one who travels farthest thus far to be on the podcast.
Oh, really? Because yeah. I feel like you have enough guests that someone must have...
No, we have had people from England come and visit us, but they have not been on the show.
Yeah,
oh,
the
show
okay.
Prior, and I think... Well, I mean, we've Skyped in... I think we was it MC Frontalot we Skyped in?
Yeah.
So technically, maybe he traveled further...
His words traveled farther, but he just sat in his comfy.
Remember, I got that recording of Mr. B.
Sure.
Did we ever release that?
I thought you broke it.
No, I. But then I got the second interview.
Oh. I don't know that we ever released that.
I hate you all.
Look, I'm not in charge.
Anyway. It's been a couple weeks since we have done this. Last week was one of those weeks where everybody was tired, and the only day we
had 18 million things.
Yeah, the only day that we could really record was Tuesday, and that was also the only day that Matt could record Horror Show Hot Dog, and what with Halloween being when it is, and the Twin Cities Horror Festival being where it is. Well, I mean, yeah, they're probably better people. In general,
probably.
Yeah. I mean, let me see. You and me versus Scully.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's just.
Wait,
that's
is that a fight? Because we're gonna lose.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, easily.
Yeah. Okay.
But you know, Twin Cities.
Scully.
Twin Cities Horror Festival was coming up, and that was probably more important for them to be on the Horror Show Hot Dog last week. So.
I mean, not Matt, but it was then, more important.
Well, yeah. Well, screw that guy. These shows are always better without Matt.
Right.
Much like this one. So it's been a couple weeks. So. Let's get this out of the way because it's been a hell of a lot longer. Chip, what you been up to?
Wait, are we drinking anything?
Oh yeah, we're drinking scotch.
Yay!
Are we drinking scotch or is this the same box that?
No,
because there's this other box you have over here, yeah, which is like a single malt whiskey. But yeah, it's
no,
titled
we are drinking
Scott's selection, which seems
we
like
are drinking a 15-year Glenlivet.
Okay,
yay!
So that's what we've got right now.
Oh
yeah, that'll knock you on your ass and make you smile doing it.
Oh yeah, that hit me in the face and then
that was happiness
me in the
right
mouth.
There.
Oh yeah,
it's got a very powerful front end, very smooth back end.
Yeah,
just like you know, I'm not gonna. I'm
had
gonna
a
stop
date
right
like
there.
That one.
Anyway, Chip, first of all, you're in town.
What
yes, I am in town.
What brings you to town?
The Twin Cities Horror Fest.
Tell us more.
Well, apart from the fact that I'm technically part of Horror Show Hot Dog, and so kind of riding their coattails on the with their performance. Well, once again... I'm writing their coattails, writing the coattails of people who actually made short films.
There we go. Really a lot of coattails going on.
How far back does the coattail go?
It's a whole daisy chain of coattails.
It's a coat chain?
A human centipede of coattails.
Ah, nope. Done.
Yep. What? It's a horror festival. That's
now I'm just picturing, like... No, someone who's made a really long trench coat with a bunch of sleeves in it, and then a bunch of people just all trying to fit their arms through the sleeves together.
And that would be Horror Show Hot Dog in a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen.
But yeah, apart from that, I'm producing my own show this year. Or
awesome.
I have produced now, because that was a couple of days ago on the 30th.
Sunday, right?
If that was the 30th, then yes.
Oh, yes. I win. I was unable to attend. I'm sorry.
Indeed, I was also I was doing a show up in Wisconsin, which we will talk about later. But let's talk about that some more. What was your show?
The Well. It was a dramatic reading of a script I wrote that was kind of I would refer to it as gothic fantasy,
okay,
because it draws heavily from a historical place and time.
Would it be teen romance?
No.
Oh, okay.
Are there any sparkly vampires?
Nope.
Oh, good.
Nope. Yeah, no, I'm for
it. It's not gothic fantasy, as in, like, like any of those shenanigans. It's more just that it is...
Is this play Team Edward or Team Jacob?
It's Team Shut the Fuck Up.
I just broke him. That's awesome.
I would say that it's primarily gothic. However, there's a degree to which I just go, I mean, do we really need historical facts to burden us?
I see.
So I intentionally don't refer to any real locations, and I don't refer to any historical figures that would pinpoint a specific
time. So it's an every when, everywhere.
To some degree, although there is a very clear... This is the Anglo-Scottish Border Wars.
I see.
Flavor and tone to it. But without actually, you know, referring to any ruler of the time or gotcha. Anything like that. And also, like, having a group of raiders, but just being like, half of them are women. Because why the fuck not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, that was a dramatic reading because I initially submitted mm-hmm. it to the festival. And kind of knowing full well that staging it was outside the technical constraints of the festival, what with set and all.
Yeah.
And they went, well, we like the concept. How about just reading the script, though, yeah. rather than staging this whole thing?
Right.
And so I did that.
Yeah. Very cool.
How did it go?
I think it went about as well as could be hoped, because okay. We had two rehearsals and then a tech rehearsal. And of the two rehearsals beforehand, we only one of them had all performers there. And then one of them, we were missing one performer, but it was a major performer. And then tech rehearsal, we had literally the person who has the fewest lines show up because everyone else had, like, work.
Because
we were, like, a one-off show,
yeah.
our tech rehearsal was scheduled for, like, 10 in the morning.
Right. The kind of poor time slot.
So given that there was very minimal rehearsing and preparation mm-hmm. and all, it turned out pretty well. There were
awesome.
No yes. major, like, stumbling or anything in the actual performance, and it came together when there were plenty of stuff that we had discussed over Skype at Matt's apartment at 11 o'clock at night regarding, like, screaming or yelling that had never actually been practiced.
Right.
But that just people just naturally worked into the performances. Awesome. So.
Very cool.
Yeah, there's something to be said for being in the moment.
Right?
Apparently Maggie posted that, like, after the show, she was approached by somebody to do, like, voiceover work or something
yeah.
like that.
I believe it.
So, good on you for that.
Oh, yeah.
And, I don't know. Anything else interesting to report? I assume you saw a whole bunch of stuff at the horror festival.
Oh boy, so. Yeah. Still
did
continuing
you see my show?
To see stuff. No, we
then
didn't.
You're a jerk and I don't like you anymore.
See, that actually funny story
yeah,
about
yeah, how
that.
Dare you?
Oh,
it's
God.
Quite all right.
It's
fine. Is there was because I think Matt had the same moment of oh shit. Because neither he nor I realized that you were in a show at the Twin Cities Horror Fest. And so we were just
I've
like
talked about it.
We just saw
in the past four anyway.
Matt hasn't yeah. been
well,
on
I,
the show
I,
for the past four.
I suppose there's that.
So in any event, we had like slept in that morning or something because it was on one of the longer days. I think it was like the
yeah,
first
it was
show
Saturday.
On a yeah. And we yep. got there, I think, later in the day, and someone mentioned like, "Oh yeah, Jenna was here because she was in a show," and we both kind of went, "What?
Yeah,
what show was that?"
Say what?
Oh yeah. Man, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, no, no. I only posted it a bunch on Facebook and talked about it here, and you know, whatever. That's fine. That's cool.
I feel like we can blame that more on Matt than on me.
Honestly,
I'm going
no,
to allow
you can totally
it.
Blame that more on Matt. I had told him that I was in a Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe show for the horror festival, and he was super excited, and then forgot about it promptly. So, yeah.
That's it might be... Because didn't... It wasn't... Aren't there two shows that...
He's in... He does have two shows.
Because there was also... We did yeah. make it to the Not-So-Silent Planet.
Yep. Yeah, that's
And so that might have been the...
The
oh, shit moment for Matt. That Matt was like, oh, yeah, we're going to the Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe show. And then it turned out to be a different show from the one you were in. And so...
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Nope. No, the one I was in, Gray and the Gold.
Okay.
It's totally not an indigenous story, or based on any indigenous, myths. It's actually a beautiful, reworking, that incorporates some mythology into it. And yeah, it was, ours was also a staged reading. We also had two rehearsals.
Seems to be a theme.
Neither of those rehearsals had the entire cast.
Oh boy.
And then we ended up, they ended up canceling something Saturday morning, so we were able to actually get on stage and go through everything, which was fantastic. So yeah, but it went really, really well. Everybody was fantastic. Got a good response. Yeah, it was enjoyable. And then I got my little artist pass, and I haven't been back to see anything for the horror festival.
Yeah.
Because I'm a jerk.
Well, I feel like that happens a lot for people that are in, that are kind of peripheral to the festival, I guess. Because you also, like last year we saw it, and I think this year we're seeing it as well, with shows that have huge casts. You see, like, the director showing up again and again for shows, mm-hmm. but the person who was, like a spear carrier in the background of one scene.
That was totally me.
Like, they might have a artist pass, but they just disappear. They evaporate after their show.
Which, I mean, if I didn't have 18 million things going on, I'd totally be doing more of the shows.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Coming out and seeing stuff. And I might still see if I can sneak out for something.
There's some pretty cool stuff that they've got going on. Yeah. I think Matt and I can probably agree that there was nothing that just blew our minds the way that some of the stuff last year did. I mean, there's some great remountings, because I think we talked about it a lot last year. The Unrepentant Necrophile remounted this year.
Okay. Matt kept talking about The Itch.
Yep. Which was actually remounted for Fringe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they've got a different show for this one.
Right, yeah. I couldn't remember what he called it, but... Yeah.
And there was some really interesting stuff they did with that. That I can't really talk about, I guess, because it ruins the...
Okay. No, that's completely fair.
There are so many shows that did really, really cool things that I would say, like, yeah, go see this show. I can't tell you why, though, because then it won't be nearly as cool.
Just trust me on this.
So,
and
like...
I feel like Halloween shows have that a lot.
Yeah.
Unlike any other kind of show. Because any other kind of show, you can go, well, it's like this, but there's something that happens that I can't really tell you. And Halloween shows are like, the whole thing is kind of fucked up. Yeah. Like, see it.
I would say definitely Dangerous Productions, Senseless. Dangerous Productions did Itch, which was the remounting of Epidemic from last year. But this year, their show is Senseless, and they do some interesting things. Just from, like, a theater craft perspective and how they use the space. Nice. There is also Sweet Dreams Alfie does some really neat stuff. But fair warning, it is a super heavy show, especially if you have experience with depression. It's a real gut punch.
Okay.
But once again, they do some interesting stuff from a stagecraft perspective. There is... Actually, I can probably tell you what they do that's cool, because it's throughout the entire show, is that you have the main character of Alfie, who's going from kind of space to space within his life, so like his desk at work, or his bathroom, or a coffee shop meeting his girlfriend. But then all the secondary characters are also moving around behind plastic sheet walls. And so sometimes they become walls, and sometimes, because you can just barely see them, they become his mirrored reflection. Well, like, when he's in the bathroom in front of the sink, they are right there on the other side, and you can just vaguely see the form moving the same way he's moving.
And they
do some really neat stuff with that.
Oh, cool.
Paul Strickland... I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Name sounds familiar.
They are doing 13 Dead Dreams of Eugene, which does some really neat stuff with sound design and, like, shadow puppetry techniques.
Okay.
So that's a really neat show to see. There are just tons of stuff. You should go see all of it.
Very cool.
I mean, yeah, probably all of it. Go see all of it.
Just see all of it.
And how long is it running? Is it...
It runs until the 6th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Longer than I thought.
This weekend.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like a 11-day festival. Yeah.
Right. I thought it only ran until like this Thursday or something like that. Why did I think it was shorter?
It was shorter last year because of the way it was staggered. It was
maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Like it was on the other side of Halloween for the most part, but this year it kind of straddles it evenly.
That must be why I'm confused on that.
Straddles. I'm okay. I'm gonna drink my scotch.
You do that.
Yay.
I was not at the Twin Cities Horror Festival. I was doing a Halloween show somewhere else. Specifically in Trago, Wisconsin, I was doing Murder at Mystery Lodge. And I feel like Matt says this a lot, where he feels like he's just this chump in a group of highly talented people, desperately trying not to, you know, act like the one who doesn't know what he's doing.
To be fair, sometimes he is the
absolutely
chump.
Absolutely. That is how very
sometimes the chump is him.
That is very much how I felt with this show. Okay. Because I mean, as we've said in the past, this has Don Krasnowski, this has Jason Kruger, you know, and just some super 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 talented people. Angela is a treat to watch. Yes. Her character in this one was like a complete 180 to the character that she played in Mystery at Mystery Lodge. Like complete opposites. Like in Mystery, she was the rich bitch, and in this one she was the very sweet, innocent, dumb assistant, and just played both of them so amazingly.
She's so good at that.
So amazingly. She's such a good actor. And Dawn, we've mentioned before, is just top notch. And Jason just brought the house down with his character. And I was there just looking around going, why the fuck am I here? But it was super, super, super fun. And I'm not going to spoil the ending because we, unlike Mystery at Mystery Lodge, where we are able to change the ending fairly easy so that every time you see it, you're going to get a different ending and a different person who was the bad guy. In this one, it's a little more set in stone. I'm sure with some tweaking, the writers could figure out a way to vary that, but it's a bit more rigid in just the way it plays out to how the murder was committed and who did it. So I won't spoil the ending on who did it exactly, but it was super fun, and we don't even tell you at the beginning who the murder victim is until it happens. I thoroughly enjoyed every moment of it, and the audience really, really seemed to be happy. I think we sold 138 seats this time.
I heard
around.
You oversold.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a packed. We actually, when we first got to the space, we had to do some reblocking on the fly because there were tables where we weren't expecting tables. Because they had to cram a couple extra tables into the dining room there. So we, nice. Thankfully, we had enough foresight to get there really, really early for that specific purpose. And so we were there, you know, 6 hours before people even started to arrive, looking at the space and going, oh, this isn't going to work. We need to figure out how we're doing this.
Oh, shit.
So, I mean, all of these people are consummate professionals and you know, Tim Wick, Bob Alberti, you know, all everybody did just an amazing job.
Whoa, I'm confused. You said professionals and then you said Bob Alberti.
Yeah, even and, Bob, and but Tim see, Wick. But Bob, but they play themselves.
Oh.
Like,
oh, well,
Bob plays the auctioneer who is very haughty and
I can see that.
You know, when he's speaking to his assistant, he sometimes slips into a more soft-spoken, you know, but when people are around, he is always the announcer who has a vaguely British accent and always speaks very deeply, you know, because he's always putting on airs. And you know, Tim's character is the tech geek who basically he's shoot, what's the name of the guy who invented Facebook?
Zuckerberg?
Yeah, he's basically a Zuckerberg analog, just kind of this nerdy guy who invented an app that made him a lot of money. So, you know, everybody brought their A game. The audience really liked us. So much that Heartwood Convention Center in Trago is already in conversation with us doing a show in April, I want to say.
I believe it's April, yeah.
Don't know yet if they want us to do another Mystery Lodge show or remount one of the two that we've already done. But yeah, they're already looking to have us back in, and they're looking long-term in having us do 3 shows out there a year.
Nice.
So,
yay!
Yeah, that's super, super exciting.
Speaking of Don and Angela, I saw them both tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We had rehearsal for Klingon Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
I am redonkulously
moving on to the next holiday already.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. Halloween was yesterday. Get the fuck over it. I don't know. There's still costumes. It's cool. Yeah, so I'm doing the fight choreography for Klingon Christmas Carol, and it is so much fun because I get to choreograph with Batlets. Who gets to choreograph with Batlets? Do you get to? Do you get to choreograph with Batlets?
I mean, not with other people.
Right, okay.
When I'm naked in my living room, then sure. Yes.
Yeah. But,
and yeah. I mean, really, if you're going to choreograph something, what better way to do it?
Well, I mean, that's how I do all of my choreography.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, that's just, that's how you choreograph your shows, right?
No, I can't say it is.
Canadians, so right. Weird.
Well, it's so backwards.
See, I was gonna say it's too cold to do it naked, but then I went, well, it's cold here too. It's
yeah. But no, it's super super fun getting to take one nerdy thing that I do and applying it to another nerdy thing and having it be like, oh my god, Nerds of Doom. Sadly, I do not work with one of the individuals. I don't want to spoil any of it. I'm not gonna say who does what.
Cool.
However, Nate Gerber's also in it too.
I know that guy.
For people that know him from Fearless. But yeah, so I get to work with the three of them on this fight and, on the show. And the fights are just coming along splendidly and I am super excited about them. They all have their own story and their own thing happening, so yeah,
very cool.
Yeah,
I feel like this podcast is very rapidly turning into let us tell you about a million shows that we can't.
That's
really
kind of what. Yeah. Okay. Well, in that case, let's switch gears then and talk about things we can tell you about.
I'm working 10-hour days.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It is kind of becoming a carefully worded thing. So I will talk about something that happened a couple weeks ago because we weren't here. It was my anniversary.
Oh yeah!
I have been married to my lovely wife for 7 years now, and apparently,
good for that.
Apparently, 7 is the first like anniversary paper. Is paper. You know, second is wood. You know, 50th is gold. 60 is diamond. You know, apparently 7 is copper.
Yes.
And so, you're familiar with the Moscow Mule, right?
I'm pretty sure you actually talked about this.
Did I?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I got to see it.
Okay.
But if Chip wants to see it, I can...
I think actually, now that you mention it, I think you're right, because this was right before. My wife got me Moscow Mule glasses, which are copper.
Glasses. They're only glasses if they're made out of
mugs.
Glass.
Okay, they're Moscow Mule mugs, and they're made out of copper, and they actually have copper straws that go with them.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, they are quite beautiful. But if we already talked about that, I will quickly gloss over them and move on to what we did for our anniversary, and that was we went to the Wisconsin Dells.
Yes.
No, for those of you not familiar with the Wisconsin Dells is basically a town that has been packed to the gills with water parks.
Yeah.
It is...
With water parks.
With water parks. Indoor water parks, outdoor water parks. The entire reason for this town's existence is to see if they can pack dozens and dozens and dozens of water parks into as small a space as humanly possible. And so there are literally dozens of water parks in this town. And it's a tourist trap. They know what it is. It's it's water parks, it's mini golf, it's go-kart tracks, you know, restaurants.
We went to a haunted house there once.
Yeah, a haunted house there. There's a Ripley's, believe it or not, there.
Yeah.
Which my wife and I did go to, which was it was fun. I encourage somebody to go there. Don't expect to be overly wowed because it is basically walking through a museum, sure. But it's a museum of the weird, and there are some pretty cool stuff in there.
Nice.
Like the room made entirely out of duct tape was meh, but then you walk through and they actually had the Fiji mermaid.
Oh.
So yeah, like the Fiji fucking mermaid's right there. And one of the things they said when we walked in is keep your eyes open because there's a couple hidden rooms. And so, like, we get halfway through this, and we're looking at each other going, are we stupid? Have we missed a whole bunch of rooms? Because I was keeping a pretty good eye out, and I'm not seeing anything. You know, even being aware of like, where the outside walls of the building are and stuff like that, and the inside. And there was really no spaces for that. But then about halfway through, there was, like, an Iron Maiden. And if you open the doors of the Iron Maiden and walk into it, then you walk into a secret room. And there was another one where they had, like, the vampire room, where they had, like, all of the myths and legends about Dracula and like, actual Victorian era, like, vampire hunter kits, you know, that they actually used to make and...
Sure.
Excuse me. but on one side of the room is a fireplace. And if you actually duck down and go into the fireplace, then you kind of sidle along this wall, and there's a spiral staircase up to a room above that room that had all of the, like, they called it the adult stuff, which was basically the just super gross stuff that kids wouldn't be able to handle, you know?
Sure.
All of the gruesome murders and stuff like that. The Countess of Bathory and things like that. So the secret rooms were kind of fun to see and see if you could spot. But then at the very end, they had a really kind of cool room. And what it is you walk in, and in the center of the room is this, like, you know, Indiana Jones altar, you know, Mayan temple altar.
Sure.
And the room is kind of an octagon, and around on each wall is a doorway that leads into a small room. And what you do is you walk to the center of this room, and you press down on this idol, and, like, the floor shakes, and the you know, the ceiling rumbles and stuff like that. And then out of the center of this altar rises this stone. And on a stone, it basically gives you instructions. Look at the symbol above the doorway, on each of the doorways around you, and find that symbol in that room hidden somewhere, and push on that, and it'll reveal a secret.
Oh.
So that was suddenly it's like, now I'm having fun. Because you go in there, and, like, the first room, it had, like these shrunken heads and stuff like that. And, you know, and tucked into one corner was the little symbol, and you touch it, and they had this little glass case with a shrunken head in it, and when you push that button, like, the platform that the shrunken head is on rises, and underneath it is a skull of you know, like,
nice.
A deformed person and stuff like that, and it pops up for, like, a minute, and then it goes away. And then you walk into the next room, and you see a bunch of really cool stuff, and then you spot the thing, and you push it, and something else opens up. So it, you know, a little bit more interactive and
nice.
Started to, I kind of wish that sort of thing was throughout the whole.
Sure.
Because for the first half, it was just look at things.
Well,
you know, there wasn't a whole
thing.
Lot of,
now there's this thing over
exactly.
There.
You know, it was kind of like, oh, I'm going to look at this thing over here now. So that was really cool. The Ripley's, believe it or not, thing, but, we also brought the kids and my mother-in-law, so she could
nice.
Watch the kids while we had our anniversary dinner. Yeah, we went off together just by ourselves and went and had dinner and stuff like that. But otherwise, we went to the water park, and the kids loved
it. Oh, I believe it.
But then on Sunday morning, what we did is we left and we went to Baraboo. And for those of you who don't know, Baraboo is where the Ringling Brothers got its start.
Okay, yeah. I'm like, I know that mm-hmm. name. Why am I not?
The Ringling Brothers circus started in Baraboo.
Okay.
And they had their winter quarters in Baraboo. And now that is where the Ringling Brothers Museum is. Oh. And so we went and saw that. And I...
Lost your shit?
I was having the best... It was the best day. Oh my god!
Kid store.
Oh my god! I was so happy, and they had a whole section on the sideshow, and then you'd go like into what used to be the elephant building, and that is where they had like all of the old costumes that they would wear in the circus, and then you'd walk into the old hippodrome. And on one side, they would have this whole display on clowns, and they had a clown car, and the different kinds of clowns. Like, I found out there's different kinds of clowns based on their makeup, like what type of clown it is, and things like that. And
tell us about the clowns.
It was just super, super, okay.
What kind of clowns are there?
There's the...
I want to know.
I can bring up the pictures. There's like, the tramp clown, you know?
Sure.
The
yeah.
The stereotypical tramp clown, you know, larger nose, darker makeup instead of the white, yeah. You know, has the frowny face, yeah. Things like that. You've got the white face clown. Let me
racist.
See. The first one is called the character. So the tramp is actually called the character.
Okay.
And that's your Red Skelton and, you know, stuff like that. The 5 o'clock stubble and yep. stuff like that. The white face is more of your traditional Harlequin, you know, stuff okay. like that. You know, slightly accented, you know, but mostly just completely white with some red around the mouth and stuff like that. And then you've got the Auguste clown. Ooh. And the Auguste clown is the one that most people think of when you think of the modern clown. They're the mm-hmm. ones with the huge red nose. They're the ones with the huge arched eyebrows, the very overblown proportions in the lips, in the eyes, in the yeah. ears, the nose. You know, the ones that wear the huge shoes and ride around in clown cars. Those are the Auguste yeah. clowns.
Okay.
And so kind of, you know, the different types of makeup and how that informs the behavior of the clown and stuff like that. And it was cool. Just like, oh, this stuff is so fucking cool.
With all of this, like, identifying clowns by their markings, I want someone to take the like clown sighting news clips in the last couple of months and just do one of those nature documentary overdubs.
And here we see mm-hmm. the Auguste
clown. The Auguste clown.
Yeah. Yeah, and yes. But like you know, the clown from It would be an Auguste clown. Yeah. And so I found that just super, super interesting. Stuff like that. And then there was the building where they keep all of the old wagons.
Sure.
And it's this huge fucking building. And they've got all of these horse-drawn wagons that they used to parade the animals through town with, you know, in the caged wagons and the trapeze on a wagon and the band on a wagon. And they actually had a human cannon, you know, wagon,
oh
you know,
my
where
God.
The human cannonball cannon was on this big wagon. And that fucker's huge. And,
at least
and just all
person.
Of these super, super intricately carved wagons,
oh,
because
sure.
all of them, every single one of them, was just covered in filigree and gargoyles and lions and all of this stuff, brightly painted and beautifully carved. And oh my God, just walking through there was mm-hmm. just incredible. And then the next building over is actually a working repair shop for all of these
nice.
Wagons and stuff like that. So they do maintain and upkeep of all of these wagons and stuff like that. And also when one of these gets found in a farmer's field somewhere, they take them there and they repair them, and they
farmers' fields.
You'd be amazed how much of this stuff just gets shoved in a corner somewhere, and people forget about it for 50 years.
Okay,
you know.
See, I'm picturing it like in the middle of the field, and the farmer just goes out one morning and
where did
this come from?
Yeah, just, you know, somebody bought it at a flea market and stuck it in a little copse of trees over here, and then forgot about it, and then 40 years later he passes away, and his grandkids find it and go, "Holy shit, there's a fucking circus wagon here," things like that. But they bring those in, they get repaired. It was just incredible to be around that much history of the circus and of the sideshow and stuff like that, and I was just absolutely losing my mind. And then at the very, very end, we get to the end, we're getting ready to leave, and we stop at the gift shop, and I get a couple postcards with some cool pictures. I've actually got them over there. I can show them to you after the break. I'm paying for them, and my wife and the kids have already left the building, like they're walking back to the car. All I'm doing is paying for these, and I'm walking out. And I look up, and on the screen behind the woman is, just for a second, a very familiar face. And without even thinking, I blurt out, "Is that Neil?" And the woman didn't even turn around to see what I was looking at. She just looked right at me and went, "Yep, that's Neil." And I was just like, "Holy shit!" And she was like, and then she proceeded to say amazingly glowing things about Neil and how funny he was, because he spent a lot of time there, you know.
Yeah.
And she was like, "Yeah, he's one of the funniest guys we've had here in a long time." But it was just weird to see his face just up in a place that I should have expected it, but didn't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's. You don't make the connection with, you know, all this old stuff from way back when, and then, dude, I know, like, that's not a, yes, there's that carny clown, through bit, but.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was super, super, super cool, and, if any of you is looking to take a vacation and enjoys, the circus or sideshow in any way, shape, or form, go to Baraboo and go to the circus museum, because it was absolutely amazing. Like, they just had walls of the old sideshow banners and stuff like that. And they had, you know, these cages that you could get into that housed the gorillas and stuff like that. And you're just like, holy shit.
Nice. It's
really fucking cool stuff.
Very cool.
So, yeah, that's something I could talk about, so I did.
Yay! I went to a barcade.
Okay.
It's an arcade.
That you can drink at?
Yes. That is only 21 up.
Oh, okay.
Right? Which is a little sad, because it did that for Andy Wilkins' birthday.
Okay.
And I was going to bring Jessa before I knew it was a 21
yeah.
up only. Because I was like, Jessa loves video games. Like, this would be right up her arcade alley. Haha. But yeah, but they had like giant Connect 4 and giant Jenga.
Oh, neat.
Which just, it reminded me of when Lori did the giant games out at Festival.
Mm-hmm.
No giant pickup sticks, though, so.
Oh. Lame. I know,
right? But they had everything. Awesome. Like, all of the arcade games, they were all in really good.
Skee-Ball?
Yep.
Did you play some Skee-Ball?
Yeah. Molly Glover is Skee-Ball shark, by the way.
Is she?
Oh my god.
She may have to go head to head.
I'm not really good. Nick was like, she's amazing.
And she then, may
like,
have to go head to head with my wife, because my wife is also.
Yeah. Then she like bowled a 300, and I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, my wife.
She's like,
is
I never bowled this good. And Nick's like, yeah, whatever. I'm like, I got 230. Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Very cool. Where's that at?
It's in Uptown. It's called the Up Down.
Okay. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, I think it's a relatively newish thing.
Okay.
At least, it didn't used to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it took over that old, like, the Mystical House or whatever. It used to be over by Smitten Kitten. The Eye of Horus, I think.
Oh, okay.
So it's there now.
Cool. And
people are loud, but... Mm-hmm. You know, aside from the loudness, it was pretty good.
Oh, you done?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay. I didn't want to
I didn't have any like super exciting okay. stories. I played some games, had a good time.
Awesome. Another thing we did when we were in again, the Dells is a tourist town, so you go to the restaurant, and the restaurant is attached to this huge fun house, which is, you know, arcade yeah. and skee ball, and my wife is fucking amazing at skee ball. But we did find one game that was basically you push a button and a ball drops into this into this pit, and then it eventually settles into one of these holes, and that's how many tickets you get.
Oh, okay.
And my son loves that.
Oh, yeah?
Because he got to hit the button and then watch the ball bounce around.
Yes, I believe it.
But then we went to the restaurant to have dinner. Mm. And this restaurant was so cool because the seating arrangement is clustered around this miniature train track. And what it is you the waiter comes and gets your order and takes your order, and then you never see the waiter again. All of your food comes to you.
I'm anticipating this.
On the mini train. So you see, you know, the waiter takes your order and then walks away. And then 5 minutes later, this little model train comes around the track and it stops at your table. And you reach over and you take your drinks off. And then when you're done taking your drinks off, train goes away. And then, you know, a little bit later, you'll see the train come by with a, you know, basket of onion rings on it. And it'll stop at the table three down. And, you know, and they'll take their onion rings and then... The train will go away.
Oh my God,
and
yes.
You know, and then after a while, there comes your entrees on the little model train. And it was so great.
It's so stupid. So wonderful.
It's so stupid, but the kids loved every single time it went past. Lilibeth loves trains, by the way. And she was just, she lost her mind watching this train go by every time. And when it brought our food, she was so excited. But the best part is, at the end of the night, after everybody had their food and you know, mm-hmm. what they did is they put one of these automatic bubble machines on the train.
What?
And just let it go. And it just kept going around and around and around and around and around. And every time it passed you, you'd get just showered with bubbles.
Oh, my God.
And it was so good. And my little son, who's not talking yet, by the end of the night was going, Bubble!
Yay!
He was like, because we're like,
oh,
bubbles! He was having such a grand time. I don't think the kids ate at all because they were so excited about the bubbles going by in the train. But it was super fun to just, you know, you get your food and here comes a train. And the train brings your food. And so,
awesome.
I mean, as MacGuffins go, you're right. It's really like...
It's so dumb.
It's very cheesy.
So wonderful.
But it made me so happy.
Oh, if we can't appreciate the stupid things in life.
I know, right?
By the way, Salsa, I appreciate you.
I know, right?
All
right.
So, I'm funny.
Looks aren't everything.
Yeah. Are we done with this now?
I suppose.
Okay.
Oh, one last thing. No, this will be 30 seconds.
Okay.
Today...
Yes, I was wondering if you're
today, the president of Sword Swallowers International... liked my performer Facebook page. So there's that.
Yeah, so he's a fan of Vilification Tennis, but when is he going to like Casimir?
I know, right? That's weird.
It took me a second. And I went, oh, right, okay. I got it.
Yeah.
No, that made me super, super happy that.
Yeah, I know. That's super fun. Congratulations.
So I really had goosebumps and I was like, and then about an hour later, I got an email from him because I had emailed him like 4 months ago about, you know, getting my membership for Sword Swallowers International taken care of. And, you know, busy guy. It took
sure.
him this long to get around to it, but he finally got around to looking at it and stuff like that. So my application is in. My membership dues are in. Hopefully soon. I mean, he did say he's going to be on tour for the next 5 weeks, so it may be after 5 weeks, but hopefully soon I shall be officially a member of Sword Swallowers International.
Yay!
And I will be able to...
You'll be an international sword swallower.
I will
be. You'll be a card-carrying international sword swallower.
Except they don't make cards anymore.
What?
that's actually one of the things he said. Because at the bottom of the application process, it's you have to submit... three photos of yourself, okay. Swallowing a sword with a blank background where they can see your face. And what you were supposed to do is on a white piece of paper with a Sharpie, write your name and then take a scan of that so they can have your signature on the card and stuff like that. In that email, he actually said, don't worry about the pictures or the signature because we don't do cards anymore. And it was like...
And you were like,
aww. I didn't care because it meant I didn't have to get pictures taken and stuff like that. I could submit the application right now. It doesn't matter. I will be able to display the logo of Sword Swallowers International, and I can consider myself a member. And I will be on the website. I will be on the website.
Story of going to just one of those, like, I don't know. I guess you don't have Costco down here, but like...
Yeah, we do.
Oh, okay. So like those Costco, like, photography things with showing up with a bunch of swords and going, okay, so I'm going to need, like, a specific angle on this. So that you're getting both the sword and my face.
Go to Walgreens and be like, can I get a passport photo, please? A little bit different, though.
No, you should go to Glamour Shots for all of that. Oh, yes. You can do it in a feather boa.
But yeah, that's all taken care of and all that is left. And, I mean, it's really him doing all the work. You know, it's not a huge organization because there's... not a lot of sword swallowers in the world. There's only, you know, 120, 130 sword swallowers out there. So, not exactly a huge money-making organization.
Really? There's only that many in the world?
In the world, yeah. Nobody else is dumb enough to do it.
Well, see, like,
it's a very rare air.
I wouldn't expect that there'd be, like, you know, millions of them out there, but I'm surprised that the number's that low, that it's...
pretty much. They actually list all of the known... Well, and they do specify all of the known performing sword swallowers, so true, yeah.
But even by that...
There's going to be people out there who just are not out there performing.
But, like, even by that metric, I'm surprised that the number's that low, because I would... I feel like sword swallowing can't be that obscure of an art, so to speak.
It's not that obscure, but it's very difficult and very dangerous.
Okay.
I mean, and this is coming from somebody who has eaten fire for, you know, almost 15 years. It is really fucking stupid.
Yeah. I would way rather eat a torch than swallow a sword. Yeah. Really, fuck.
But there are so many daredevils out there who will just try all sorts of crazy stuff.
I think sword swallowing takes more skill.
Yeah.
It takes more practice. It takes more dedication.
It takes more dedication and it takes more discipline. Because... Mm-hmm. If you can get on a motorcycle and be brave enough to hit the rev, to make it go full revs, you can jump over a bunch of cars. With swords, if you don't have enough control over your gag reflexes, you just can't do it.
So it's,
you just can't.
It's the perfect balance of being crazy enough to swallow a sword, but not so crazy that...
But still disciplined enough to be able to get to the point where you're able to do it.
Okay, fair enough.
And so,
you can
get
someone drunk enough to swallow a torch. You can't get somebody drunk enough to swallow a sword.
Yeah, because it does take, you know, it took me almost 3 years to be able to control my throat muscles and my gag reflexes enough to be able to do that. And some people... never do. You know, Matt, even if Matt tried for 7 years, he would never be able to do it because his gag reflex is just that sensitive. You know, even no matter how disciplined he was, he wouldn't be able to do it. So you really have to be, like you said, stupid enough to do it, but still disciplined enough to be able to go through the process.
Fair enough.
So...
And you don't get nearly as many chicks as you think you would being a sword swallower. Gay dudes, maybe, but...
Oh, a lot of propositions.
Yeah.
A lot of propositions.
Yeah.
It's also, in the grand scheme of things, not as flashy.
Yeah.
With fire breathing, for example, it's this huge thing, you know, and it really gets the crowd roaring. And even when you're not actively... breathing or eating the torch, you're still holding a torch and people are still responding very viscerally to that fire being there. Whereas with the sword swallowing, for that 15 seconds that the sword is down your throat, people are really, really, really excited. And as soon as you pull that sword out, it's gone completely. Because suddenly you're just back to a guy holding a sword.
Yeah.
So, so there is really this, it is not as flashy a
it's a niche market.
Very much so.
But see, I would expect it to be a niche market, but not so much a niche as for there to be only like 100 and some odd sword swallowers
you'd think
in the
that,
world.
But no.
In the world.
No, I'd be like maybe 100 and some odd in a country. But in the world, that's
nah.
And again, these are known performers.
Yeah.
But still, I mean,
so
if there
could be an unknown out there. You know, technically, this last year at Festival, I was an unknown sword swallower at Festival. I was actively performing, but they didn't know about me.
But, I mean, even if you account for, like, statistical variance on the number of sword swallowers based
then
on
the
how
number
many
is
known,
still going to be under 200.
It's going to be so small that you go, for statistical purposes, humans do not swallow swords.
Well, how many do you know of in your town?
I guess none.
How many do you know of in your province?
None.
But I mean, that's
like, how many fire eaters do you know?
None.
He's Canadian.
I know my brother knows someone. I don't know who it is, but he apparently has connections to try and start doing it. So
it's swallowing a fire. Yeah.
But I mean, but if you stop and think about it that way. All of the sword swallowers that you are aware of, or you would imagine you'd be aware of, are going to be in Coney Island. They're going to be freak shows in L.A. and Florida, maybe Chicago. Mm-hmm. But in my home state of South Dakota, probably none. North Dakota, probably none.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Minnesota, one now.
I'd imagine that once the shows down in Orlando or Los Angeles or something, you'd have at least, you know, a good number of
the but a good number in sword swallowing terms is like 4.
Okay.
You know, and if you've got 4 here and 4 there and 4 in New York and 4 in New Orleans and 4 in LA, maybe 5 or 6 because it's movies. And then you put, you know, a couple in you know, one in Germany and one in England and one in Japan and one in Russia and one in, you know, even then, you're still spreading it pretty fucking thin. So.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. And again, there probably are a lot more out there that just are undocumented, but. Even so, that number is still going to be under 1,000.
Yeah.
Easily. So, it's pretty cool. That went way longer than I was expecting it to. That was supposed to be like 30 seconds, and it turned into a conversation. Well, he asked questions.
How dare you, Chip?
I know, right? We're going to take a break now.
Okay.
If you guys like what you heard, come visit us on aonpodcast.com and leave a comment. Or you can send us an individual email at salsa, Matt, or Jenna@aonpodcast.com or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. I am Salsa.
Oh, hey. I'm Jenna.
I'm Chip.
And we got to talking about stuff and didn't realize that it took us a long time to get through all of that, so we're just going to head straight to the outro.
What? The outro.
It has been a long week.
Oh my god.
It has been a long week, and then long weekend,
so,
and then long week.
I have been working 10-hour days. Mandatory 10-hour days to get a product out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to god, like, I've been... Then the really nice thing is that they're letting us work from home.
Mm-hmm.
For those of us that have the capabilities, like, we're supposed to come into the office for a certain amount of time, and they're just like, just work from home in your pajamas. That's fine. So I've been doing that for the past week. And that's really nice because not only am I in my pajamas, but I have way better coffee than they have at the office.
Uh-huh.
Right? I just finished up some TrueStone.
Who's that now?
What? No, I just finished up a bag of TrueStone Guatemalan.
Well, thankfully.
And I actually have my other bag of Sumatra.
Oh my goodness, you go through it a lot slower than we do.
I do, because usually I'm stuck at the office drinking this shitty coffee.
We go through every single week when it's our turn to get one. We're like, thank you goodness, because we've already gone through ours. Yeah. And Radley is having to go through the store-bought Kona at that point. Yes. And we're like, oh, when is the next shipment coming?
Well, do you need to take...
No.
Okay, I just got some.
I'll steal Ethiopia. Matt's. I'll take Matt's.
in fact, I'm gonna read this one. Ethiopia, light blueberry, cherry, brown sugar, jasmine. So those are all different notes that I can expect
that
to
sounds
find
marvelous.
This particular batch.
I too have had a really crappy time at work. Since Wednesday, from Wednesday to Monday morning, I worked on one problem.
Oh my god. I'm so sorry. I've had that problem. It's
yeah.
Awful.
It was real. I was in so many war rooms.
I didn't.
And talked to so many engineers and was in discussion with the client and running tests after tests after tests, yeah, that were all failing out. And this one problem wouldn't go away, and it was the worst. It was so awful. But TrueStone kept me going. But I would spend all day at work dealing on this problem, and then immediately after I would leave and go straight over to rehearsals for Mystery Lodge.
Sure.
So it was a really long stretch, and then I did 14 hours yesterday. So TrueStone has been my saving grace this past week.
I have one of those coffee makers that's a bean grinder.
Oh, yeah.
And you can set it on a timer.
Banger.
So I don't even have to, I just need to remember to put the beans in the coffee.
Right,
maker,
that's the hard part.
Which, yeah, when I'm going to bed, I'm like, meh. But then I get to wake up to the smell of TrueStone, which is almost as good as drinking it.
Also true. But dear listener, if you want to share in the loveliness that is TrueStone that we are discussing, you can do that. All you need to do is go to TrueStoneCoffee.com, okay, and you can order all of the TrueStone that you desire to your heart's content. You can buy whole beans, you can buy ground if you don't own a coffee grinder. You can buy bottles of cold press, and I recommend you do that because those are amazing to just throw in your backpack and walk out the door. And if you use the promo code APROPOS, or as Jenna would say,
APROPOS,
you can get 10% off of your order, which means you can have more money to spend on another video game or something like that.
Get yourself a donut. Get a shitty holiday donut. Get a cruller that
you can eat along with your coffee.
There you go.
And, you can say, hey, self, I deserve this.
Yeah. I actually did that this week. Cause I got a couple of donuts after dropping Jess off at school. And I was like, I'm getting a donut. Nope.
Awesome.
I'm getting two. And then I had it with my TrueStone, and it was fantastic.
Awesome. Hey, everybody. How about a Fast Five?
What? Fast Five.
And I'm totally psyching you out because we don't have a Fast Five. Because Matt really fucking sucks and didn't send me one. And everybody sends them to him. And so if he didn't send them to me, then we don't have one.
We don't have them.
So what we're going to do instead, we are going to say the five things that we hate about Matt the most.
Oh, five things I hate about Matt.
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh my god, his douchey hair for Masquerade of Bernards. Did you see
god,
that picture?
It was like Flock of Seagulls meets
Holy
Wolverine meets
shit.
Greaser.
It was awful. Although, Weekend at Bernie's, I did get to see it, and it was fantastic. Despite Matt's hair. and that closed out, and we did pretty good. So
awesome.
But
his hair is definitely on the list.
Oh my god, his hair was so fucking douchey for that show, which was the point. So, I mean, yay?
Yay?
Yeah.
Chip, you're next.
So you have to tread carefully because I'm staying.
No,
with
you
him
don't. No,
he
you
doesn't
don't.
Listen
he doesn't
to these,
listen to
Chip.
These.
Huh.
Come on, you do a podcast with him. You must have something.
What's it like staying with him?
Well, oh my god. Yeah, does he leave the towel on the bathroom floor or something like that?
Does he fart all over the place?
Oh, there, that is that. Oh, yeah. That's, oh boy.
I think we hit a nerve.
Do you need a candle or something? Like, should I send you home with some tea lights?
I think I need a canary more than anything else.
Yes. That poor canary.
Ooh, I got one.
Yeah.
He eats in the shower.
Does he eat in the shower?
He eats in the shower. I have this on first-hand account from both his ex-wife and his current girlfriend. He eats in the shower, and apparently he was eating, like, nachos or something in the shower.
How the fuck did
and, like,
nachos
they were getting soggy, and she was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And he was like, well,
he's a fan of, like, shower beer, a common thing that people are into, but food?
Yeah, but he reads in the shower. He, like, I'm just like, how are you getting clean if you one hand is constantly holding a book?
To be fair, if you are in running water for, like, 8 hours out of the day...
Yeah, that's true. I will also say, though, that is one thing that's driving me nuts about, perhaps not Matt, but about his apartment. The water pressure is so low that the shower is just kind of like, it's fine, but I have a lot of hair, so that's my problem.
Yeah. That was the one thing. When I did my tour for my apartment, I was like, I'm going to try the water. And they're like, what? I'm like, no, you don't understand. If I can't wash my hair, I'm not moving in here. So I'm testing this. And yeah, the pressure was amazing. And I was like, sold. Let's sign some paperwork.
Yeah, that's just rote. You see how much water pressure you have and you flush the toilets to find out if they're super loud or if they just go.
Yeah. If you get a good enough flush.
If you've got a weak one that you're going to have to flush 7 times to get a really big turd down, what's the point?
All right, what else do we hate about Matt?
How many are we up to? Because I think
that was 3.
2, and you did 1, so that's 3.
Yeah.
Did you not say 1 before I gave a second one?
Did you do a second one? Oh, yeah, that's right. You did a second one.
Yeah.
His apartment sucks. So we need one more, and that's going to be the fact that he's no longer doing vilification tennis, that little piece of shit.
Yeah, what the hell? I'm mad.
I'm mad at him, and now I'm a little sad. Damn it!
But can I have his insults?
Ooh.
Because his
insults are up for grabs, aren't they?
He didn't write are amazing. So you know.
Well, yeah, which is all of them,
right?
And he's officially retired, so those are up for grabs now.
Are they up? I think he gets to bestow them.
Fucking dibs!
You don't get to call dibs.
I do get to call dibs. No, he. But if I call dibs, I get to ask him first.
It is a long-standing tradition. You can ask him first,
and I'm going to.
That doesn't mean he's going to give them to you.
No, but in fact, I call dibs on asking.
Fuck you, Jeff Nepple's 10 times funnier than you are. Yeah, he is. Better, so
well, that's why I need all the help I can get.
Okay. I would fight you on that one, but no.
Dear listeners, if you hate Matt Alex, please write in to matt@aonpodcast.com and tell Matt why you hate him.
Yes.
In fact, I'm going to encourage you to do this.
Oh my God.
Don't tell him why.
Or just write in and
tell him why you hate him.
You could also do so on our Facebook page.
Yep. Oh, I like that even better.
Because then you can tag him.
Go to our Facebook and tell us why you hate Matt.
Yeah.
I encourage you to do this, but don't give any explanation for why you're doing it.
Don't say why. Just say, God, I hate Matt because of X.
This suddenly makes me very, very happy.
Yes.
should we have a hashtag for this or something?
No, hashtags are fucking stupid.
Vague booking.
Vague, I suppose. Dear listeners, though, usually we have a Fast Five in this spot, and if you want to submit a Fast Five to us, you know how this works. Send them to matt@aonpodcast.com. Send them in 2 emails, the first one with the context and the second one with the... Or, I'm sorry, the first one with the answers and the second one with the context. For those of you who are listening for the first time, this makes absolutely no sense. Go listen to another episode first.
Just to jump in, I was going to say, because I haven't listened to AON in a little while, and I'd kind of, my brain cut out on how fast fives worked for a second. And so when you were saying, like, send him in two emails, my brain filled in the rest with one being the insult, the other being your fast five.
Yes.
First send Matt an email saying why you hate him, and within 5 minutes of that first email, send him a fast five.
No, we're definitely going to say the reason we hate Matt, go to Facebook for that. Yeah. I think that's a better forum, because then everybody can see your reasoning for hating him.
And we can debate the finer points of each of those.
That does it for us. It is quite late because we didn't start recording until very late for reasons such as rehearsals and all that other bullshit. So it is late. We're going to get the hell out of your ear holes. Anything else?
I don't have a show for the next week or so. So yeah, cool. I'm good.
All right. Go listen to Horror Show Hot Dog, where you can hear the dulcet tones of Chip's voice. Unfortunately, Matt's there
dulcet.
Too. Oh, there's another reason to hate him, because we can't listen to Horror Show Hot Dog without hearing him. And eat the fucking cake.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Talking and testing the microphone.
Microphone.
Also testing this microphone.
Microphone.